Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Story County Board of Health. We're going to start with the agenda item. First one is call to order. And before we begin this meeting, I would just like to state my deepest sorrow in the death of Paul Toot. It was a shock. I was unfortunately out of the country, so couldn't attend his services. I've always enjoyed my experiences with him, how he worked with us on the Board of Health, and I know he's done a great job with the County Board of Supervisors. I think the county's going to miss him, and so will I.
Yeah, okay? And if you don't mind, it was a month ago yesterday that Paul passed away, and Paul not only was a great Board of Supervisor member who put Story County first and everything, he was a great personal friend. I mean, it was a tragic blow for a lot of us here in the county, and we are just to the point, and we've been dealing with it every day for a month, we're just to the point here in the county that we're trying to pick up the pieces and move on. We've got a new supervisor who was actually sworn in today, and so we're trying to continue with the work of the county. Now, I sit here on the Board of Health in Paul's stead, at least temporarily, and he's greatly missed, and I appreciate that he was a big part of what you guys were doing on the Board of Health.
Okay. All right, so let's begin. First thing we need to do is, with the death of Paul Toot, we need to elect a new chairman to this Board of Health, and I've been serving on that with things that we had to deal with because I was vice chairman, but I would like to put out nominations for a chairman of the Board of Health.
And John, for me, as a newbie coming on here, as vice chair, unless there's a reason that you can't take on the role for the remainder of the year, I would suggest that you would be the right chairman to lead us forward, and I would make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. Yeah, regret. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. All right. I guess it's me. All righty. Okay, so consent agenda, approval of the agenda and approval of the minutes.
John, I'm sorry. Do we need to also now have a vice chairman that can serve in the stead of the chair if you're not able to be here at some point? Margaret, I'd ask you, I mean, does the Board of Health need to have a vice chair?
No, actually, that's probably a very good idea because there have times that has had to happen, and certainly I've kind of served that.
Kristen, would you be willing to serve as the vice chair? I'd move Kristen as vice chair.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. There you go. Great. Okay. Any other changes? Okay, great. Okay, now, consent agenda. First of all, this is something that we're just going to approve unless someone has any objections to it. One is the approval of the agenda today, approval of the minutes from the last meeting, from the Board of Health meeting on May 3rd and April 19th. So I would take a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
And I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Anyone have any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. So the consent agenda passes. This is the public forum, and this is the time for members of the public, of which we have a fair amount today. What a crowd. if anyone would like to come to the podium and speak, this is the time to do that. If you're not on the agenda for other purposes, this would be at the time that you can do that. And if does anyone wish to speak at this time? Anybody? Okay. Oh, please, if you could step to the podium so we can get on the microphone so we can hear from you.
Did you say Annie or Andy?
Annie.
Hi, Annie.
Hi. Okay, my name is Annie Lewis. I've only been there since last July. That's fine and dandy. I own two trailers. Okay, that is my property. How I see it is the water. I don't worry. I like to see the water samples. You're all saying the water's dirty. Okay, I've got kids, just like everybody else does. I would like to see a copy of the water samples. I like to see a copy of people supposedly getting sick in that trailer because I have not DNR's been in my house. It's clean. I've got two other tenants. Their water's clean. What a bottom line is you guys want, somebody wants the property. okay? That's not fair, and that's how I see it. You know, I see housing development. My husband does construction. I do construction. We're not stupid, okay? We are willing. We had been, I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last 3-4 weeks, me and myself and Brent and other tenants have been there to haul the trash out and remove the people that are actually causing problems in the trailer park, okay? Where my trailer stands and a few other people's, I don't see. I mean, if they want the front of the trailers, let them take the trailers. The people that aren't causing problems, the people that are willing to try to clean up the community, we have that right. Now, how I see it is, this all started because people got evicted. That's their problem. That is not my problem. Mm-hmm. But we have the right to stand there and stand up for ourselves and not let the city come in going, your water's bad or this. It's not our water. If it is, I'd like to see, and so the rest of these tenants, to see the copies of the water. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see something on paper saying it's bad. Show me that the water's bad. Show me that somebody's gotten sick in the hospital with kids. Mm-hmm. Because there's not one child in that trailer park that has been sick that I know of.
Annie, thanks. So, Mr. Chair, I just suggest that I appreciate Annie's comments. I think they're completely appropriate, but they're appropriate at a later date on this agenda. This item is for things that are not on today's agenda.
I thought it was actually for mostly people who are not on the agenda. But, yeah, but we'll be speaking about the about Crestview later on today. Okay, that will be a big part of our meeting. Okay. Anyone else wishes to speak?
Yeah. Gentlemen, there is not on the agenda. However, when I signed in here, I did have received a paper.
Right. No, this item is for us to discuss issues that are not on today's agenda. What I'm saying to you, sir, is this item that that Annie was referring to is on today's agenda. I believe we're going to discuss it thoroughly when we get to that point, and that's not what this item is. This item is for things not on today's agenda.
When are you guys going to discuss this?
It's on the agenda.
Update
on Crestview Mobile Home Park.
Yeah. When is this going to be discussed?
Today.
Today?
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you something. Right here's a sample of water, and I've been drinking this stuff for 10 years. It comes straight out of my tap. I'll take any blood sample. I'll do a UA. I'll take a hair sample. This is not killing me.
Okay.
You guys are creating some problems here because of the corridor. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Lincoln Corridor is generating a heck of a lot more money.
Okay, well, again, and thank you very much. But again, there's a time to discuss this, and this will be today.
Yeah.
Okay? This will be today.
No.
We'll talk about it today. We'll talk about it today.
Okay.
We will. We will talk about it today. Okay? All right. Okay.
Is it the meeting is over with? Yeah, then don't talk about it.
Okay. Okay. So, anyone else who wishes to speak on something that's not going to be on the agenda today? Okay. So, move on. We're going to try to kind of speed things up a little bit to give a little bit more time to the people who want to be here to talk about Crestview. So, if first of all, we're going to hear from Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Denton, and an abbreviated report that gives us the essentials, please.
Absolutely.
Hi, Denise.
Hello. Just quickly, you have in front of you sort of our last of the school year report that talks about all the different activities that we did. That is the gold sheet that's on top. The other thing that we've been talking with you throughout the year is the issue that was before the legislature concerning medical marijuana. That did not pass as it was proposed, and you will see behind the gold sheet some of the information that we provided to the legislators about that because it is a very complicated issue. And wanted you to have some of the talking points that we have been discussing with the legislators.
Okay. And we have copies of those.
Yeah, those copies are in front of you.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you very much. Any questions that we have for Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Fenton?
Laura has a little something.
Oh, okay.
Recently, the state of Iowa's Iowa Department of Public Health did a statewide review of assessment, I should say, of retailers, gas stations, places that sell tobacco. So that data is available now. So at a later time, I'd like to come back and talk with the board about what that assessment data is and a little bit more about advertising and tobacco use.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay, so next we have Story County Public Health. Kyle, and can I ask you to do the same thing, please?
You have the reports in front of you, so really I'll let Terry address any of the – this is bi-monthly local public health services update as far as what activities have been going on as well as disease reporting. So if you have questions, Terry, any comments you want to make?
I guess the things that we've been working on most are a mumps outbreak, Iowa State students. So those cases we're probably still getting one a day. And the other, we had an outbreak. It was related to a restaurant names, but it was an oral event. So, but really, other than that, those were the things that I want to bring to your attention.
The amount of mumps has not gone to the point where they're recommending repeating vaccinations yet, are they?
We probably are short 100 cases.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
So it'll be a little while.
Are we seeing anything on the Zika virus here in Story County? Is it something we're monitoring? How does it work?
In our region, we've had four people tested, four women tested, and they're negative. They were negative. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else at all? Does anyone have any questions on the Board of Health? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we're going to the Margaret, if you want to talk about your usual stuff besides Crestview, and then we'll talk about Crestview after that, so you'll be able to stay in the hot seat.
And I'll make this brief, if everyone else is with me. Sure, sorry.
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Thank you.
Septics and wells, pumpers, programs, it's all on track. Fiscal year ends the end of this month, and so we'll do reports on all of those at that time. Grants to counties, we have about $1,500 left in the budget till the end of the fiscal year. Trainings, all three of us went to the pool tattoo tanning training that IDPH has. Then Matt also had to re-up his bloodborne pathogen in order to do inspections. Matt and Kathy have started working on the outdoor pool inspections. Most, if not all, of the indoor pools have been done. We're adding one pool, one brand-new pool in the city of Ames at a hotel. And the contract for the inspections will be finalized by IDPH, and I believe there's an item later for you all to vote on to approve the signing of that contract, and I'll drop it off at your house for signing when it comes available. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. This is kind of complicated. Institutional controls for well construction. We have one down in Huxley. They want to have the county not allow well construction permitting around that Lust site so that that plume doesn't move. The city of Huxley has an ordinance that disallows anyone to drill wells or have private wells there. So I will allow it in this case, although I do think it's an infringement on property owners' rights who want to drill a well, you know, outside that plume. But this one, I think I'm okay with agreeing not to permit wells in the plume area. Any advice on that?
One time we want Mark here. our plumbing expert and stuff. You know, one of our members is Mark Speck, who cannot be here today, is actually usually our expert on plumbing issues and this type of thing.
This would take that particular case from low risk designation to a no action designation. So it pretty much takes it off their list of things that they need to be monitoring in that. That's the other problem that I have with that, aside from property owner rights, is whether or not this one's just being checkmarked then. You know, I don't know. I don't know enough about this. I'm sure DNR is doing their job in allowing this to go to the no action.
So the DNR has said that basically they're not concerned about it.
Right, as long as there's no new wells being punched in and pulling that plume, you know, in different directions.
Okay. Well, that sounds reasonable.
Okay.
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 Thank you. Other projects, I'll table that, and thank you.
Okay. Great. You may want to stay up there.
You said that the test is going to be done later on this latter part of the month. Can you give me a date that they're going to come up and do the Crestview?
We're going to talk about Crestview right now. We had, that was about Huxley.
Right.
That, what she was talking about was.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah,
we'll
talk
okay.
About
okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we have Margaret James up again to talk about Crestview.
Okay. And I have just a few slides to just kind of help, direct everybody. Slideshow from the beginning. Okay. So currently they are a public water supply. So they, Crestview is considered a public water supply because they have greater than 15 connections and greater than 25 people being served. Okay. And that is important to keep in mind as we go through today's discussion.
So when they're a public, and I apologize if I slow us down, Margaret, but this is my first time sitting up here on this board. So if they're greater than 15 connections or more than 25 people.
15 or greater.
15 or greater, 25 or greater, then they fall to
DNR.
DNR, not Story County Board of Health. They fall to DNR for all regulations and testing and compliance and everything like that.
All of DNRs. We, as the County Board of Health, have a nuisance ordinance that includes the entire county, in addition, which is in addition to DNR's regulations.
Okay, super. Prior to this coming to the Board of Health, this resided with DNR, and all complaints and all testing, everything went through DNR. Is that right?
For the most part, yes. Okay. So currently, and this is according to Brant, who visited my office yesterday, he is currently serving one house, one fourplex that has five or six people, 20 trailers, and that is a total of 22 connections. Okay?
That's currently right now.
Yeah, as of yesterday.
Okay.
So they're down. He's down, right? Because when I heard about it on the Board of Supervisors, it was 31 connections?
Correct. Yeah.
So
trailers. So actually 33. Mm-hmm.
33. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now he's down to 22.
Okay.
And needs to drop another 8 if he wants to be a private water supply. Okay. Now, Brant submitted 3 water test results that a qualified water operator collected and submitted to a lab, and they came back absent for bacteria, and the chlorine levels were good. Okay, that was 3 samples collected on one day, 3 different places, all in the newer trailer park area, okay? I question the results of those samples based on them being from the newer part where they typically get higher residuals, chlorine residuals, so it's testing better than maybe the older part, okay? And then the other problem I had with it is that the timing, one can assume that this was a scheduled water testing and maybe some preparation for that testing event was done. So maybe extra chlorination, that kind of thing. I'm not saying it was, but that's a possibility. In a regulator's mind, you have to consider those kinds of possibilities. Okay. So since then, Matt, who has experience in water and public water systems, water supply. He has taken samples. The first round, the first two rounds, it was low for the chlorine residuals, which is indicative of a possibility of a bacterial presence. Okay. It doesn't mean that there is bacteria, but there's no line of defense if that comes upon bacteria. Samples were taken, one from the old part and one from the new part, and then also one from the well house, and they were all low. Matt went out again today and was unable to collect samples because people were not answering their doors or were unavailable. It was during, you know, the work day, so it's you know, quite possible that everyone's out working. But that just kind of points to the difficulty it is in getting water samples and proving that there is or isn't safe water. Okay. So now we have to talk about closure and what Brandt has to do to avoid closure. Some of the things. So assuming, and Brandt plans to go to a private system. So as of yesterday, he plans to reduce his park size. So if that's the case, then the DNR things go away. And then the health department, Story County Health Department, has to come up with ideas on how to make this a safe water system. Okay? So these are the ideas that I've come up with. And is Brandt here? I don't see him. Hi. I didn't see him come in. I apologize. These are possibilities. And Brandt, please speak up if you think this is totally out of line. But have an operator test for chlorine levels once per week at two different trailers, and then have an operator collect and submit a sample for bacteria once a week until there are three consecutive free samples, and then switch to a once-a-month regimen. Sever dead ends in your water lines and then loop those water lines so that you have a continuous flow. The dead ends will end up being a problem with chlorine concentration sometimes. And then this was a possible recommendation from DNR is to ensure that freeze-proof water connections are available to all of your park residents. And that is to avoid, you know, lack of water quantity. The other ones were all water quality. These and that one, that last one is water quantity.
Hey, Margaret, before you move on there, so this, you're saying that these are possibilities if he's 14 or under connections.
Correct.
Right? So if Brandt gets it down to 14 or under, he's at 22 right now. If he's at 22, help me understand what, compared to this, DNR is requiring.
Mm-hmm. They are requiring that an operator have a daily, be hired and have a daily presence at the park.
So I heard 5 days a week. Is that right? Or
five days. Well, I guess five business days. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So five days a week, and instead you're suggesting 1 day a week.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's too little. I mean, I'm just throwing this out here.
Right. It becomes who's going to be the people who are committed to making it or proving that the water is safe.
Right.
So if it's us, if it falls on the Board of Health, it's got to be 14 or less units, and then we could think about whether or not this would be something that we would expect.
Yeah.
But until he gets to that point, he still requires to have.
So as we
daily
sit here today, as we sit here today, the park is not in compliance.
That's correct.
So the order still stands as we sit here today, and if it gets to 14, then this body gets to decide what the requirements are. And so, Margaret, my question to you is, are the DNR requirements excessive? I mean, clearly, if you're talking about requiring somebody 5 days a week, as DNR is, and now this body's going to talk about less than that, where is that happy medium on items like that?
Well, you know, I'll be the devil's advocate here. Tullamore Glen, for example, has several houses, say 10, 13 houses on one well. and they regulate themselves.
Okay. Who does?
Tullamore Glen, and that is just one example. But that's a subdivision by McFarland Park over there. And the way they did it is, was to avoid DNR regulation because they're a lot more stringent. But they do monitor themselves, and they do show good water test results, on a consistent basis. Based on some of that information that I provided you before, that handout that DNR put together, I think that there's evidence that there needs to be closer attention to the water and water testing and some requirements placed on this system. And that is why I chose one day a week. It's sort of a combination of the two extremes. And okay. I'm just throwing it out for discussion. Maybe this is too much.
Yeah,
maybe it's too little. It's a starting point.
Right, right. But right now, like Mr. Sanders said, we really can't even consider this.
Right. But I would like to have something in place for when or if he does get down to a private system.
Do you think that will be possible?
Yeah,
sure, please.
Possible, yes, correct.
Brant, introduce yourself first.
Brant Lemire, Chris, owner of the property 5615 West Lincoln Way in Iowa. Also owner, Crestview Mobile Park. Possible, yes, but these or fair restrictions right now would be fine, but these are almost similar to what has been suggested to the Iowa State DNR in the past couple of months. Not by myself, by operators that I've been trying to hire to this. Mm-hmm. It's almost very other similar scenarios from each. So, of course, I would agree to that. Yesterday, visiting with Margaret and Matt, I said I'm on the fence right now on that reasoning because if we go down to the 15 connection, which is intended, the main intention is still to keep the rent low, okay? So, of course, 15 connection is a big income loss of a full 60-lot mobile park.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest restriction of any going forward is the expense, of course. These licensed operators get paid for their duties, of course. So the more time they're there, the more money expense. Of course, and that's the industry. That's the way it is. It's almost all industries, of course. So that's what the operation or the visits were yesterday. So I won't go much longer. So, as today, to my knowledge, it's daily, meaning every day, 7 days a week to the DNR, what they're expecting from a licensed operator going forward as full, not just the five. Five was actually brought up as well from one other operator, go down to five, and then three, and other stipulations. And again, the reason these operators aren't, again, I would hire such if we needed to go forward on. But they're not comfortable as well going forward on the day-to-day because it's not the industry norm. They get somewhat cold feet as well when they've done site visits at Crestview, seen the system. Yes, it's an old park, old system, but it is not only satisfactory. It's some areas is to the – these are comments I'm hearing, of course. We've had – we could talk to them directly, of course, if needed. Don't take my word for it. But comments were that I've seen worse. I'm dealing with worse now, and these restrictions from the Iowa DNR aren't as strict. So I'm taking that in as we work through this as well. So, yes, going forward, if we go down to 15, and I just talked to a licensed operator again this morning. Been talking to him numerous. I've been dealing with him as an advisement instead of hiring as an operator to work with me as an advisory on such. And he would be willing to go forward. if his schedule allows with us. But again, there's financials and other things.
Do you see a big hurdle with 1 or 2 day a week requirement?
Again, we'll have to visit this. Let's talk about that as we go. Right now, there's other issues. We all kind of feel comfortable, unless we do at this point feel comfortable going forward at 15. I've had numerous conversations with some of the board members.
So where we are right now, though, Brant, is either you've got no option to be bigger than 15, right? You're either closed or you go to 14 and we come to an understanding between the Board of Health and you that you're going to live by that reasonably assures reasonable water for your residents, right? But it looks to me like, unless I'm missing something and you guys help me here, that the DNR has already spoken. If you are 15 or greater, you've got to comply to their regulations, and that's what it is.
Untrue. Okay. They have spoken, of course, on the one compliance issue, the licensed operator. These down to 15 has been requested by me, but it wasn't forced from them to this point.
Well, wait a minute. If you're 15 or greater, you have to comply with what they say.
Correct.
And they say you need to have somebody there daily. You're not going to comply with that. You can't comply with that.
At this point, correct. But if I still could, if I hire a licensed operator today, that will be there daily.
Mm-hmm.
With the
well, then that's simple, right? If you comply, the Board of Health lifts its closure notice.
Well, actually, he also has to comply and give us 3 samples.
Saying if he complies.
Right. And makes the water safe.
And makes the water safe, right. Then everything's lifted and goes away.
Correct. And 2 of those have been done already. You know, it's the last meeting we had, the special meeting on May 3rd, it's argumentative on safe water. I say safe water. Safe water has been proven safe on bacterial for 13 years. Okay. The chlorine residual is what we're commenting on. And, again, that's just a measuring tool. Okay. I did more research since a visit yesterday, Matt and Margaret. Margaret, if I just may, for one quick question, did you contact DNR since our visit yesterday? Janet asked about the proper proceedings on taking water samples.
Well, she's out.
Oh, okay.
She's out. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Oh, don't be sorry. That's fine.
Okay.
And again, this is all hearsay now, but I did talk to the supervisor, Ted Peterson, this morning, and he said, yes, that is a big difference on not letting the water run before it takes sample on the tap. Also, I was going to get to this later, but there's 3 people. A licensed operator stated the same. Mr. Dale Berry stated the same. And Ted Peterson, supervisor of Iowa DNR, stated the same.
Brent, I don't know what you just told me. Say it again and start from the beginning.
The chlorine residual samples, the 3 that was on the order to take, on the 13th, we had 3 samples taken by a lab. They're a licensed operator employed by the lab took mm-hmm. 3. They came back satisfactory, of course, bacterial, absent, mm-hmm. and the chlorine residuals in range. Okay. I had my test kit there at the same time, taken with the operators in their uniformity. So those 3 consecutive samples should be completed through the order.
Right.
Okay. And the safe water, some people say it's safe water. You've heard, you're going to hear, you know, it's
you know, as someone in medicine, I do understand that there are certain criteria that we have with all things, you know,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, what bacteria respond to antibiotics at what levels that are based on science. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there is clearly how much chlorine is supposed to be there. I mean, we do have basis that needs to be 0.3 parts per million of free chlorine or 1.5 parts per million of total chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
And the chlorine is there to make sure that bacteria doesn't grow, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, one of the things that has been brought up before, and I've never asked you this, but I'm going to ask you this now, did before that sample done on 5/16, did you do anything to the water supply at that time? Did you add any water to it or anything, like from a tank truck or anything like that?
No.
Okay. That's what okay. I thought that was as straightforward of a question that I could ask you okay. about that. Okay?
Thank you.
Right. And then your other thing that you're bringing up is that there may be some questions about whether the water sample was collected appropriately because they didn't let the water run.
Correct.
Okay. Did you let the water run?
Yes.
And I can elaborate on that. Yes, I was there. Not the first sample, but the first two. And I did comment, we don't need to draw on this much. But I'm very confident going forward it'll be fine. We did the one sample at the well treatment building that Margaret mentioned. Was very close in both test kits, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was because we took samples at the same time. The sample prior to that with my test kit at lot 27, I believe it was, you took your sample first. Water ran for a while. I took my sample a little bit later. Mine was considerably higher. So that's where I'm basing this.
How high was yours, Brent?
1.89, if I remember right. I didn't bring all that information here, but it was within range between on the total side. I'm not sure on the free. The free was a little low, but like John mentioned, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And 1.5 to 3.5 in the range, so 1.89 was in middle of that range there. So.
And did you run your test on lot one?
No, I did not.
You just did yours, Matt.
And the first sampling, Matt and I were there, and he did run it. I think he did it. I don't question his
and I don't want to question that like that either, but it's just once.
Okay, and then, so let's go on. One other thing that the DNR would require if you wanted to be above the 14 is that you have to demonstrate with an engineer statement how you're going to make your water system a viable system, and that deadline has passed. That was back in April. So in other words, hooking to city, hooking to Xenia, or drilling a new well and possibly putting in new water lines. So that is a huge hurdle to get over if you want to continue being a larger part.
Okay.
And this is just a diagram of the park, and Brant drew in the red lines that show the water lines and the dead ends there. And so most of, if he goes down to the 14, those front ones, which is on the bottom of the page, so Lincoln Way would be along the bottom of the page there, that is the older part. They would go away, and then the trailers would be concentrated more toward the north. Do I have that correct?
Yes, that would be correct, as that would help more of a, not 100% loop system, but more of a loop system for the chlorine residuals to be more consistent than they are not right now. And another reason why they're not right now is because we mentioned earlier that we're down to 22 homes instead of the 64 lots. So there's shouldn't say big system, but it is considered a big system now with not much usage through there because, of course, the tenants are scattered out throughout. They're not all in a nice little loop system of usage area. And that's another thing when these chlorine residuals, it does, even though the line's not exposed, but it does, I'm not a professional on this, but I've heard it many times, and I should recapture of it more information than I have, but it does break down in line, I guess, as well. And again, Dale Berry, that I mentioned numerous times, is the knowledgeable person to explain this very well, better than I can, of course. And, of course, the DNR reps, actually Mr. Ted Peterson, I mentioned earlier, mentioned that again this morning to me, and I wish I would have wrote it down and made better notes on the phone conversation with him. On the system, even if it's not compromised, just the chlorine residual breakdown as well before you even take the samples. That's why at the well house, it's always a little higher in the system because there's not as much usage. Now, a year or 2 years ago when I was fuller or almost full capacity and the usage was higher, the chlorine residuals were a little closer or a little more, they're not so spread out where it is today.
But so anyway, so since you got those three good samples, the health department has gotten samples that show low chlorine residuals, and so to me that that shows that you do not have a consistently safe water distribution system.
Firm.
To the right of the map there on the right side there. It'd be towards the middle of the map. It's prior to that. That was just a hand sketch map we made yesterday, and we were talking on another type. But yeah, it would be the red lines would actually go towards which would be towards the east, which would be towards the right of the map up we're looking at there. So, but yeah, what Margaret stated there, it doesn't mean it's not safe water. That's what this is all confused, and it means the chlorine residuals probably. But when they're in there, they probably did their work that they needed to be. The residuals are going to, again, we are not the professionals. You or I are not the professionals. But it's just
right,
but
there's minimums, Brant. Right. Okay, so none of us have to be professionals when we know that it's 0.3 parts per million or free chlorine or 1.5 parts per million total chlorine. And if you don't meet that, there's a reason that threshold is there. You can argue it, but there's a reason that it's not there.
Yes, but if a licensed operator would be and take such, he wouldn't panic and just say, it's unsafe water, we got to close the mobile home park. Okay, he wouldn't. He would go to another location and make sure and get a random sample. And that's the same thing I can do as well. If I get a really low one, we go to the next door. And but then you do a random for that day, then you know that day wasn't unsafe.
This isn't like it just surfaced a week ago, though, Brant.
Correct.
You've been dealing with this for a long time.
Correct.
And now you're at the point that you've got to prove yourself. You've got to prove that the water's safe, and that's for a lot of reasons.
Well,
and it just seems to me that as I hear you and Margaret talking, I don't hear you saying that there's a way that you can meet the DNR regulations.
Well, there is. Like you mentioned, this isn't new. I got 13 years of history of these chlorine residuals up and down.
Isn't DNR requiring you to have an engineering statement? Didn't you just say that, Margaret?
That's a little different issue. That's a viability assessment. And that's another. Back to this, okay? The chlorine residual has been up and down for years, okay, as I'm permitted through the Iowa State DNR. They're aware of this. But it's not, it does not prove it's unsafe water. If it did, I would have been addressed years ago by the Iowa State DNR. Again, we should have an Iowa State DNR rep here explaining this because it's, and it sounds like you're not going to believe me anyway coming from me. So, I mean, that's just the way, and I'm not doing a very good job, I understand that. Okay? But that's the facts. Common sense tells me that if it was a big issue, these chlorine residuals being up and down, the DNR would have, I would have had a violation of them years ago. And violation, if that wasn't corrected, it would have been addressed more by the DNR in an administrative order, or whatever, and it would have higher and higher.
But it sounds to me, Brant, like you're trying to argue DNR requirements with the Board of Health. We're the Board of Health.
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. I come across as an argument.
I don't mean it in a negative way. It sounds to me like you're questioning the DNR requirements on you when the Board of Health is not the ones who put the requirements on you.
I apologize. That wasn't my intention. That wasn't my intention. I apologize, Mr. Sanders. I apologize. I just want to get to the bottom of it.
This is my first time sitting here. I want to understand it. I apologize to my three counterparts here. I just want to understand what's going on, and here's where I am. DNR has put requirements on you. If you want to stay 15 connections or larger, you've got to meet those DNR requirements, or you've got to close, is it July 5th?
Not by them, no.
Not by them.
Yeah, absolutely, no. But this Board of Health has taken action that says either you will comply with the DNR requirements or you will close July 5th. So that's easy, right? Either or. Either you comply or you close. Where it looks to me like the wiggle room here is if you get below 15, if you get to 14 or less, then there's an opportunity for the Board of Health to determine what the requirements would look like for you to prove safe water, whatever that is. And so my question to you is, do you want to continue to fight this fight of being great 15 or greater and close on July 5th, or do you want to go to 14 and us try to figure out what your requirements are going to be going forward?
My intentions have been stated many times. Yes, we want to continue doing business here.
Okay.
I've requested, I've been having numerous conversations with some of the members here. I had a couple.
You said
I had a couple,
in my office. Absolutely.
Exactly. I had one phone conversation in your office as well, stating the same such scenario. Requesting, okay, we had the order stated the three consecutive samples, okay, and there has been verbal conversations on the 15 or less going forward. Okay, I mentioned that was my intention.
When you left my office, my understanding was you were going to go to fewer than 15 connections.
Correct, and I still stand that way today. But I also stated in your office in other conversations, we all got to feel comfortable here. I got to feel comfortable. The board has to feel comfortable. Environmental health department's got to feel comfortable. People in the here has got to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we are at that time in these kinds of conversations prior to today. We didn't have anything documented. We just had the three consecutive samples was it. Nothing, you know, going forward, moving forward. These people, some of the people here, the tenants, that are still don't have a for sure light at the end of the tunnel if they're going to stay or not. You know, right now it's they're not staying unless we get through this. I've stated many times, let's do this sooner than later. Let's not wait till day 59, okay? And it's June 7th now, next meeting. I've been very verbal recently. Let's have a discussionary meeting prior to today. And we're still arguing, if you will, like you stated. I feel that I'm very sore that we're still going to ask this. So the point I'm trying to make here is, right now, I don't feel comfortable going forward because we can't get over the first issue, three consecutive samples. It didn't state how they had to been done, and I asked. It wasn't my intention to set up that. I went right away to Mr. Toot the day after there. The next day, had a voicemail, had an email. I can show you my such email if you wish. Get these going sooner than later. That's all I ask. I didn't want to know when it was. The schedule come. I didn't need to know anything. I just wanted it sooner than later so we get through this, as because the intention was to go to the 15. Margaret here is the one that said, please, whether she was busy that week, whichever, and I contacted her office, go ahead, get it scheduled. And I asked, are you sure? Because I don't want this to come back and haunt me, if you will. So that's why the first call was to the state hygienic lab. They didn't have any certified operators to go out and do such.
Right, but Brent, I'm feeling this go around and around in circles here.
Exactly, I feel the same way.
I don't want to go around and around in circles.
I don't either.
The ball is in your court. Either you want to go to 14 and us figure out what that looks like, or it doesn't work for you. It's not something you're comfortable with, in which case the park closes July 5th. Mm-hmm. If you choose to go to 14, then I feel really, really confident that Margaret and the Board of Health will work with you to come to a reasonable assurance that you're able to provide clean water to your 14 or fewer residents. But you've got to make that decision, and it's the clock's running out because you're running it out.
Well, I... Mr. Sanders.
Yeah.
I made it very clear. I've had written documentation even to the DNR, and my intention is to go down to 15. But I mentioned a minute ago, we all got to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And this being stated early on, days, weeks ago, that I'm going down to 15. But we all got to be comfortable. Right now, I don't feel comfortable because we can't get past the consecutive sample issue. So I don't feel comfortable going forward because it's so many steps. So what's next? What's next? What's next?
So are you? So are you telling us that you can't make the decision to go to less than 15 until you know how we're going to sample your water if you go less than 15?
Not necessarily. I just would like a guideline to go by.
Sounds
but the water, maybe that's a guideline. I just need a guideline.
Well, the
if it's
guideline
water,
is
that's fine.
3 parts per million free chlorine or 1.5 parts per million total chlorine and no bacteria.
Yep.
All three of those.
And I'm comfortable that can be met any time going forward.
Okay.
I'm comfortable daily. I do that daily. I'm comfortable in the system.
So,
again, it's going to vary because we're low on numbers. And, again, that's not an argument that I want to get into again here. But
So if we say to you that we require this and this is how it's going to be sampled, that you will say, okay, I'll go to 14 or less and I'll do it by July 5th. Is that what you're saying to me? Because if that is, I want to know how we can go through this appropriately. Because if you're saying I can't get to 14, then this argument is kind of mute unless you get an operator as required by the DNR. So you see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to get to the next step. You know, you're saying you want to make sure that everyone's comfortable. And what I'm hearing from you is that you're saying that you want to know how the water is going to be sampled before you start, before you drop down to 14.
Not necessarily just the water, if there's any other stipulations. But, yeah, that's the only stipulation.
What's
fine,
the stipulation you're worried about?
Yeah.
Whatever comes across.
You know, I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Okay,
what's coming across, because I had that same question of you also in one of our several emails. But the issue now is safe water, and that's what we have to concentrate on. And I do not think that on this conversation that on the table is any other practices right now at Crestview. But I will tell you that just because it isn't on the table now doesn't mean it won't come up on the table later. And I can't even tell you what those might be yet because I don't know what they are. So I'm not going to sit here and say, if you get clean water, we're going to leave you alone. Okay.
No, I don't expect such.
Right, actually. So this is, so the order states is only talks about clean, safe water. That's the only thing the order talks about. Okay? So that's what we have to focus on. Okay? Yeah, is, that water right there.
Is there a way for the Board of Health today to lay out the parameters that we would be monitoring for clean water if, in fact, the park went to 14 connections or less? Do we have that ability today, or do we not? So you put up your recommendations, Margaret. Does the Board of Health have the ability to act on those today, or do we not have the ability to act on those today?
You can vote on that. Vote, you know, develop your own list and vote on it today.
Yeah. Brant, when you were in my office, has that been 10 days ago, week ago?
It's a little bit longer than that, it seems like, Mr. Sanders.
Yeah, days are running together. It's been a wild month, as I'm sure you can appreciate. It seems to me that in our conversation, Brant, we talked about the possibility of you getting down to the number of connections that where you were not under DNR requirements, that you would get an operator on site 2 days a week, and you seemed to think that that was a reasonable request and it was something you could comply to. Do you still feel that way today?
Say it wasn't completely the way it was stated, I believe, was it?
Tell me.
We were talking hypothetically anyway.
Yeah, we were talking hypothetically. Yeah. Let's talk specifically.
And I'll mention it. I'll answer that the same way I did in Ms. Jane's office yesterday. I'm on the fence on that scenario, but if it is, whatever that scenario is, and it's hard to answer that yes or no today because we don't have a licensed operator here to say, it's all about the financials. We're going down to 15 connection. Or 14 connection. My main goal is to keep the rent income low and without rent increase. If there's going to be such added expense in whatever we come up with today or whenever, then I'm going to have to adjust that to, of course, the tenants to make up for that. So that's the scenario we're looking at. So it's hard to answer that comfortability level, whatever that would be at this time.
Okay. All right. So before we open up the microphone for other people who wish to talk and give their views on this, it sounds like what we need to consider as the Board of Health is whether or not we want to accept recommendations from Margaret Janes about how to sample the water to prove that it is safe before July 5th if Mr. Lemire can go down to – I'm saying Lemire?
It's Lemire.
Lemire, sorry. Lemire, sorry. With a last name like Passion, I'm a little sensitive. So we would propose, we have to look and see if that's a reasonable proposal that Margaret is putting out, that if Brent gets to 14 units by July 5th and he gives us water samples that prove to our satisfaction that the water is safe, then the park stays open. Do you see, hear what I'm saying? that if you get down to 14, but if you cannot get down to 14, then we have to go back to the DNR regulations. Is that how you guys are hearing it?
Yes.
Okay. So, so Margaret, can you throw up what you want to do again on the that's okay, yeah. Great.
Margaret, do you feel like that provides us with a reasonable assurance that we've got safe water?
And should you prove which, should you be able to choose which trailers? Because you seem to see there's a big difference between the old part and the new part, and we still don't know what part he's going to close. He has talked to me about closing the older part.
Well,
or whatever.
I'm sorry, those conversations were, that would be step two, because it's, time-wise, it's going to take time to move such people from that end of the park to another, and that's the reason why.
Yep, well, that's why you had 60 days. So, yeah.
So that would be a good addition,
okay, that you choose the two. So you're talking about the...
Or twice a week.
Well, you're suggesting one. Let's stick with what you're suggesting.
Okay, yep.
You're suggesting once a week, the trailers of the tester's choosing, right?
The operator's
choosing.
Yeah.
Operator picks which operator. One's the test.
So you would not collect the water.
No.
The operator would collect the water.
So
and you would feel
expense.
Comfortable.
Well, yeah. I don't know at this time, again, because it's going to be an expense, and we don't know what that expense is.
Mm-hmm. But it's also an expense to the county. You know, Matt went out there and spent a good amount of time with no water samples to show for it.
Okay.
Bacteria testing, $25 a pop, something like that.
It's about that range, yeah.
Yeah.
And would the same...
I was prepared to come in here, and we kind of jumping around here, so we missed it. But, yeah, if we would go down to the 14 connection, 15 total connection going forward, would be, of course, I would continue doing the bacterial monthly samples like I have been doing for this 13 years. That would continue. Because that is a peace of mind for me that I am given good, safe, quality water.
But three consecutive, taken once per week.
Well, right now, by licensed operator, you mean? Because right now I do that daily, so I know where it is,
mm-hmm.
You know.
By a licensed operator.
Licensed operator.
Okay, so... I would actually make a couple of changes on the requirements, okay? I would having an operator test for chlorine levels, both free and total, okay? Once per week at two different trailer locations to be determined by, I would prefer it to work with the operator and determined by the Board of Health. That's what I would prefer. I would have the second part, I would have an operator collect and submit a sample for bacteria once a week from an area that is recommended by the Board of Health until there are three consecutive free samples and switch to once a month. Okay? And then the last two sound good to me.
Is there a timeline on the last two?
The only timeline we have situated right now is by July 5th, three samples have to be given to us to allow the park to remain open. That's what the order states.
So we're saying that we could get past July 5th with the bottom two not being complied to. And I would like to
because
put some kind
continue.
Of time frame. Absolutely. And so Brant talked to me about the bottom two. So I'm talking about sever dead ends and loop the water lines and ensure freeze-proof water connections to all connections. What is a reasonable timeline to ask you to have that done?
That's a big question. The last part there, to ensure the freeze connections, that's not my responsibility. That's home or owner occupied. Okay, that's a tough question to put on me.
Well,
a restriction to put on myself.
Okay.
And right now they are insured, freeze protected. They are inspected every fall before cold temperatures come to make sure everybody has the proper heat tape on. I do that myself, but it's not my responsibility. on making sure that their homes don't freeze. Uh-huh. It's their homes. This is not a rentals. Again, these are all owner-occupied homes. They're not rentals. So I can't go in and make sure their furnace is working and make sure that their pipes
don't
freeze.
Talk to me about severing the dead ends and looping the lines. That is your responsibility.
Correct. That some of the dead ends are easy to sever. The loops, of course, take some construction. Okay, so there's an expense in that and some time to do such. And again, it's going to come down to this comfortability level that we mentioned. And right now, these stipulations are getting stiffer than even the Iowa DNR regulations right now, that the industry, as you will, and again, I'm just the industry, if you will, as it's not the norm in the industry. And so I don't know. It's a thought. That's why we should have these discussions prior to today.
Okay.
It's a tough question to answer at this time, Mr. Sanders.
Okay. What I'd like to do is we've been now in this meeting now for an hour. I'd like to make a 5-minute recess. Okay. For a little bit, and then we'll come back and readjourn at 3:06. Okay? All right. It's now 3:06, and we probably have at least my blood pressure has gone down a little bit, so we'll be able to kind of continue on with this. with. Yeah, really, really. I'll take another pill. It'll be okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, the water helped. You know, just on kind of a side note, you know, I just I came back from Africa, and oh my gosh, clean water is such a big stinking thing. You know, I keep thinking that the amoxicillin I give the kids is important, but it's not as important as clean water. Okay, so we're in the process of talking about what will need to be done to allow Crestview to come back up or to continue to operate. And what we were trying to figure out requirements that will be put in place to continue Crestview to be operated after July 5th if, and this is a big if, Mr. Lemire goes down to 14 units, okay? Is that correct? So there's a couple of ways we can go about doing this. One of the ways is we can kind of give some guidelines today about what we would require and then ask Mr. Lemire to give us a period of time because, to be quite honest, when we ask him straight off the bat, how long it's going to take them to sever dead ends and loop the water lines, as anyone who's done any type of construction knows, that can be difficult. It sounds like everyone's pretty clear on the first two requirements. The third one, or the last one, sounds like that is a tenant's responsibility. And the third one is the sever the dead ends. I don't think we do want a time span for that, but it's a little unfair to ask them to give that today.
Good.
Okay. I think that would be fair. So go ahead. Yes.
And then I just had a conversation with Matt Corey, and he offered to, you know, within his job limitations for the health department, to go out once a week to Crestview and do the testing for a fee, and the money would go to the county, of course, but it would be a cheaper rate, and it would help Brant out that way rather than an operator, like probably like $100 per visit.
Okay.
Just putting that out there, that might help Brant. Decide what he wants to do as far as lining up.
I would be comfortable with that.
I would too.
I'd be very comfortable with that. Okay. So where do we go from here? Should we vote on something? Should we make a recommendation and have another meeting next week. I don't know, because we're kind of been here for a little bit, and we seem to be going round and round.
Did you want to take a comment?
We don't know if he's going to go down to 14 or not. We've got to have a...
Well, I think, and I want to make sure that it's very, very clear that this only goes into effect if he gets to 14 or less. Correct? Yeah, okay.
Did he not just say that? That's what he's doing?
Yep, well, that's what... Yep, but it's not there yet. Okay?
What right. Does it mean? Does that mean...
This might be the time to take comments. Okay, so that people can and then we'll make a decision about what to do. Okay, so now we're gonna open up for comments. Okay, if you want to step to the microphone and identify yourself.
I'm Jason Allen. I lived there 2 years, and I just want to know if we can have extra time on moving. Some of us are having a hard time moving and don't want to move because it was our last place of moving to.
Mm-hmm.
We just want another 30 days to get situated. It's hard to find a place to stay, especially for people who don't have renter's background. And we just want to petition that we have an extra 30 days to move.
I don't know enough about the eviction procedures to talk about that. I'm sorry. Would you like to? And like, if you identify yourself. And
Ethan Anderson, Story County Attorney's Office. If it came time to do the evictions, that we would come before the Board of Health and present an order for eviction. These orders and notices would have to be served on the tenants, so there would be an additional week to 10 days potentially past July 5th where they would be able to remain in their trailers.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We just needed extra time. The week's not enough. I mean, granted, we have had 2 months, but some of us have been here for over 2 years and have a lot of stuff to move and go through, and 60 days is not enough.
That's a decision from the Board of Health, but I think the 60 days was provided, and that's adequate time.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. More comments? Does anyone wish to comment? You've been so patient.
Yeah.
Clarence Morrow, I've lived in that trailer for 10 years, and as you can see, I drank the water. I drank that for 10 years. I had no problems with it. I don't know why everybody else is complaining about it, but you can take blood samples, you can pull my hair, you can do any kind of samples you want with my body. I was born and raised in well water, and that's exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Clarence.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Sherry Riley, 218 14th Street, Ames. And I'm representing a Mid-Iowa Organizing Strategy, otherwise known as AMIS. We held a meeting with some of the residents of Crestview on Sunday. Several of the tenant or the residents came over, and we discussed options for assisting them with moving, getting rental assistance, things like that, and found out what some of the barriers are. And we recognize that some of the residents do have significant barriers to obtaining other types of housing. And we also recognize that in Ames, leases begin on August 1st. And with this eviction happening in early July, we are strongly requesting and recommending, based solely on availability of leases, that the eviction be extended to mid-August to allow them time to acquire a place to stay that doesn't require them to have a one-month sublease in between. For some of these people, moving once is going to be traumatic and expensive. Moving twice would be prohibitive. So that's the first thing we're asking for. The second thing we're asking for is additional financial assistance. The $1,000 is generous, and we're grateful for that. But, for instance, St. Thomas is running low on assistance money. Other agencies and churches are also, you know, strapped to the limit for these folks, and we want to help, but they're going to need more money than some of them are going to need more money than's being offered. It costs up to $3,000 to hook a trailer up. Now, a couple of people hopefully are getting their trailers moved for free, and that's fantastic. But if somebody else wants to move outside of the one trailer park available just over the Boone County line, it's going to cost them quite a bit of money to do that. So financial assistance is probably going to be needed. The third thing I'd like to ask for is, since water is the issue, or one of the main issues in this scenario, we would ask that Story County begin providing potable water to the residents of the trailer park for free so that they don't have to worry about going and getting potable water while they're in, you know, processing what's going on and how they're going to move. And then the fourth thing I'd like to do is publicly acknowledge the owner, whom I don't know the owner's name, but publicly acknowledge the owner of the ICE distributing or the ICE vendor on West Lincoln Way, who's allowing people to bring from the trailer park, bring containers and fill up water for free, which isn't his job or her job, but should be Story County's responsibility at this point, I think. And so thank you for the work that you're doing. We understand it's difficult, and we are grateful for it, but we do think that these are some of the things that are going to be needed as people face this eviction notice. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
My question, I'm Kathleen Holcutt, and my question is that on this relocation, my question is for people that are low income that don't have any funds to move, and they are owner operators, is there any kind of relief that we can get for someone to help us to buy out the trailers, or to help us to move the trailers, or any kind of help that we can get on that?
Is Carla Webb here? Thank you for that excellent lead-in.
I'm Carla Webb with Story County Community Services. In our office is the office that's processing the applications for the relocation assistance that the Story County Board of Supervisors approved. It's $1,000 per occupied mobile home, and those dollars can go towards the move of a trailer. As I understand, that's likely not going to cover the cost, but it would be money towards that. I can give you numbers on how many folks we've assisted so far and how many applications we have pending. One of the things that we're trying to do is to encourage folks also to work with the other community agencies, knowing that it's very costly to make that move. But with a combined effort, hopefully we can help get that person to reach the amount that they need to be able to move. Do you want me to go on into my numbers at this point?
Could you tell us how many you have applied?
You bet. So far we've paid for two applicants. One was for rent and deposit, and that was for $878.50. The second applicant, we paid rent. It was first and last month, and we paid a total of $1,000 on that. We have 6 pending applications, so that means folks who have come into our office, turned in an application. They may be working on what their plan is. And then we have one person who we've been in communication with, just trying to assist her to formulate a plan. She hasn't submitted an application yet at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. More comments? Yeah, please.
I understand that, okay, trailer's okay. People like myself, I own the trailer. I own number 30 as well. Do you guys realize that no trailer parks, including the van, will allow our trailers to be moved because they'd be 1985 and older? Maple Grove, she wants everything but your blood brother. Okay? People, I don't understand how they expect us we can move our trailers. When this whole first started, they gave us places where you can go. Hello, Lumber Mill is not going to touch your trailers with a 10-foot pole. So you have to leave that trailer. You own that trailer. You lose the trailer. You lose the value. You lose everything that you put your time and money into it. Lumber Mill, you can't afford them because they're arm and leg, and their rules are outrageous. I mean, they act like they're living in fancy townhomes. They don't want to work with us. They don't care. They got their homes. They got this. We are still in the same boat. People like me and a few other people that own these trailers. There is no place to move these trailers. And when this first started, oh, you can move a trailer here. You can move a trailer. Guess what? It's not you moving. It's us. It's not your family. It's our family. So you guys just think about, I understand the frustrations of the water, whatever it is. But at the same time, I would like you guys to go home at night and sleep. And think, wait a minute, what if that was my family? What if that was my wife, my child, or my business? Okay, I run 2 businesses out of my home. I own a construction company and a cleaning company. It has cost me dearly. But at the same time, there has to be some kind of resolution. If you want us out of there, they're going to have to help us, like I said, with our trailers that we own them. Where are we to put these? I am not going to walk away from my trailer all the time and money that I put into 2 little trailers that I own. And you guys, well, here's a place you can move. They won't take them. Nowhere in Ames are they going to take our trailers. They won't allow them to move their trailers. So what are we supposed to do? That's another question we have not had been answered. All you guys want to do is give us flyers. We've already complied with all this. And there's a time limit. And there's only so many people that can help. So you guys are on helping certain people, but then the rest of people, the doors are closed. What happens to these families?
Yes, Ms. Allen?
Like I said earlier, some of us don't have options. Personally, I don't have a job. I can't work. I can't stand people. I'm a nervous wreck. I just can't go around people. Like people are prejudiced, work against us. Where's our voice? I mean, hell, I haven't had anybody speak for me in years. But I let my voice be heard by myself. I yell, I scream, I get mad. Well, I'm upset because we ain't got the time. I've been there 2 years. Our other park got closed because the managers did whatever with it. Apartment complexes for the college students. It's always about the college students. Well, what about us? I don't have a job. I don't have no resources or asking for them. I don't like asking because I get turned down a lot. I'm on waiting for my disability to come in. I've been approved, but it's going to take me a couple more years. It's a waiting process. What do I do until then? I was an owner-operator of my own home. Well, it got tore down. Well, what about my needs? My needs aren't being met because you guys are closing us down. I don't get the resources because I'm a single male. Man, we don't get the options like females with kids. We have to go out on the street, live under a bridge. Well, I'm 42 years old this year, and I'm too damn old to do that. I just can't do it again. I've been living in my own home for 10 years. Why should I walk away from it? Just because the city says I have to. That's right. I mean, what would I fight if I took your house? Said you guys can't live here because I want this. That would be wrong of me to try to take it away from you guys.
I don't think any of us on this board discounts or minimizes the stress that the residents will be put under by this move. Please understand that. Though there is no evidence of anyone who's going to make any money from this. And this also, you know, the scenarios you put across really remind me that in many respects you are a very vulnerable population. And that even makes our role as Board of Health even more important, because the last thing we want to do is endanger you. Because just like you said, I don't have to worry about clean water because I'm hooked up to Ames. But you guys are not. And then I'm afraid that you're not getting appropriate water.
I carry 4 gallons of water on my back every day.
Yeah, and I'm sorry you have to do that.
I choose to. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I have to or not. I choose to because I like drinking water.
Yeah.
I'm not asking Brent to supply it for me because I choose to take the walk at night. I walk a lot, and I suffer a lot of heat strokes, and this move is just causing me to have a panic attack. See, and I don't get rent from anybody because I don't have a renter's background. I don't have a perfect credit score, and I don't fall under the guidelines of making so much money a year. What about us that don't do that? I mean, I'm still boned. I lose my home here in less than 2 weeks that I've counted on for over 10 years. What do you say about them? Where do we go? I don't have nowhere else to go. I'm sleeping in a tent after July 5th.
Anyone else wish to speak? Please.
I'm Angelo Ciccone. I live in Trailer 10 at the Mobile Home Park. I'll tell you how bad I love it over there. I got stabbed over there in last July 24th. I got stabbed by my girlfriend. And would you believe it, I'm living in the same trailer I got stabbed in. That's how much I love it over there. I mean, that's how much I love the park, you know. And Brent's been real good to me, you know, stuff, and work with me to get so I can get the trailer I got stabbed in. But I mean, that's how much I love it over there, and that's what. And I don't want to move. There's no way I'm going to move, you know. No way, shape, or form, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay there. In order to get stabbed here and live in the same trailer, that's pretty brave. That's all I got to say.
I think that should be entered into the record. That's a direct quote. Okay. All right.
I'm not living with the same girlfriend. I just want to tell you that.
Oh.
That would be really brave.
Really, I don't know.
Then I'm going to get my head examined.
Oh, I don't know. Now it's not as impressive. Okay. All right. Okay, anyone else need to speak? Anyone else wishes to speak? Okay.
So,
right. Yes. So, go ahead.
You got to run this meeting however you see fit as a chair. I just am compelled. I'm compelled by several things, but one of the points that I had not considered as we were going through this process was the reality of renting in this area, and that it is truly an August 1st kind of day. I mean, we truly are an August 1st to August 1st kind of community. And the hardship that we're talking about in trying to locate places during that time frame. I'm just curious as to you guys' feelings if there is any reasonable leeway to get us to line more up on that August 1st date. And I wasn't privy to the conversations you guys had early, and so if I'm throwing something in that shouldn't be thrown in, just tell me. But that strikes me.
I think it's a reasonable concern, something to consider.
It is difficult. I think that bears a little bit more discussion. That really does, and a little bit more thought on our part, okay, about extending it to August 1st. Because what I'm afraid is that if it extends to August 1st, will it go to September 1st?
Well, so I really think it's important that the Board of Health come out of here with clarity today. Wherever it is that the Board of Health wants to head, I think it's important that it be absolutely clear today where that's headed. Now, that's going to be hard to do because one of the things resides with Brandt. Brandt is going to have to determine if it makes sense, Brandt, to go to 14 or fewer connections and make it all work. You've got to make that determination. But the Board of Health can make the determination of date certain, this is when things happen. And that would allow the residents some certainty on how to proceed.
So what you're proposing is that we may want to extend the ability for residents to move, but still basically close the park?
Well, the park's closing. If Brandt doesn't choose to go to 14 and comply and then comply with whatever stipulations the Board of Health placed on him, the park's closing. Then I would want to talk about the August 1st date.
And that may be something, and as I understand it, that's what we would talk about with the eviction notices when they're served.
Say that again.
Hi, I'm Jessica Reynolds from the Story County Attorney's Office. So that's something the Board of Health could address when you come back after the July 5th date and issue your order to evict. You could set a date certain, and that's something that if you wanted to extend that beyond the notice requirement time period, you could do in your order to evict.
So the park would be closed as of July 5th, but the eviction would not occur until the date that the Board of Health set.
You could do that,
could
correct.
Do that.
Yes,
got
if that's what you decided.
Thank you
that.
Very much. So, Sulamir, do you wish to say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just confused on what Mr. Sanders was saying earlier. I thought I did state clearly that the intention is to go to 15. 15 will go down there for sure.
14.
To 14. 15 connection is the general term. But anyway, correct. So that I was stated in before today.
Okay, so that's going to be done. That's going to be
that's
done,
be
by
done
July
for
6th.
Sure.
That's going to be
the
done.
The question
by
that I want was the second question is what stipulations would the Board of Health have, if any, to go forward under that stipulation if I'm comfortable with going on or not.
Okay.
So, Brent, you just said two different things to me.
Exactly.
Right? You said you were going to 14. Yep. But then you came back and you said, depending on what stipulations the Board of Health puts on me, which leads me to believe maybe you're not going to 14.
Right, I
got to
feel comfortable.
Closing.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's got to feel comfortable with the. We don't know what the stipulations are.
Yeah, okay.
They're right there.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, those were suggested ones. Is that what the Board is going with for sure?
Okay.
I think so.
Yep, so I would propose. Okay, so getting back to what we started to before the break, this is what I propose the vote, the Board votes on. I propose that we require of the owner of Crestview that they have an operator, and it could be supplied by us, to test for chlorine levels once per week at two different trailers that we decide on, that we could also have an operator that also could be supplied by us to collect and submit a sample for bacteria once a week, in an area of the park that we agree on. And do that until there are three consecutive good samples, and then switch to once a month. Okay, and then that we also require Mr. Lemire to sever dead ends and loop the water lines to a period of time that we are satisfied with, and he should give that to us at our next meeting, our next scheduled meeting.
That's appropriate. Okay. And inspected, correct?
Can you read that back? That's what I proposed.
Yeah. there was in the meeting yesterday, Margaret and I and Brandt, we discussed the 14 connections and how we would be able to guarantee that that's going to happen, because he is still going to have trailers sitting there for some amount of time because there's a whole process of going through to get rid of those. And what we came up with, and I think, Brandt, you were agreeable to it, was they – to remove the meter that's in the trailer, all, and he could start now with the ones that are vacant so that it's not just a rush all of a sudden after the date. We discussed that you could take a cap onto the pipe, remove the meter, put the cap on, and then they make this wire with a leaded seal that we would seal the on there so that we know that that connection can, you know, if we went to that trailer 3 months from now, we can tell that there was never any water through that pipe so that we can guarantee that he stays at that 14 connections. So I think that needs to be another stipulation.
Okay.
If I may, and Matt, I did run that by the supervisor, Ted Peterson, this morning on the phone, and he was acceptable to that.
So I'm going to second what I took as your motion.
Yep.
But I'd like to discuss the timing of everything. When is the next Board of Health meeting?
It'll be...
is it in August? Correct.
Right, we'll need to have one in July.
I would like to see us really compress that timeline. I would like to see us give Brandt a week or 10 days to notify this board in writing whether it's his intent to go to 14, and if he is going to 14, exactly when that's going to happen by July 5th. I mean, July 5th would be the deadline, and then we're going to have to meet, whatever happens, we're going to have to meet before August, right? Because something's got to give in all this.
Right. So that would be the we're probably going to have to meet July 5th.
That's a Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Okay. All right. So let me try to do this again. This is what the proposal is, that we have an operator that will be that can be supplied by us, test for chlorine levels once per week at two different trailers in Crestview that we decide on or approve by the Board of Health. That we also have an operator collect and submit a sample for bacteria once per week until there are three consecutive free samples and switch to once a month, again, from parts in the park that we, the Board of Health, approves of. We will need from Mr. Lemire a deadline for when he plans to sever all the dead ends and loop the water lines, and that will be at our next meeting that we'll have on July 5th. Furthermore, we would like in writing that Mr. Lemire plans to go accept these requirements and go to 14 units or less by July 5th. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. So I need a second.
I'll second that.
And is there any further discussion?
I simply want to discuss, Margaret mentioned that there was the possibility of the Board of Health offering Matt Corey's services to be the one to test on a weekly basis at the rate of $100 $100 per visit.
Well, that's why I put in there an operator that we may supply.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you want to specify inspection that the dead ends were severed and water lines looped?
Well, so as I understood the motion, it was not saying that he was going to have that done. It was saying that he was going to have a plan that tells us when he's going to have that done, but it's not date certain. You're giving him the flexibility to say this is when it's a reasonable amount of time to get it done, and the board.
No, we have to approve
agree.
It. We have to agree it or not.
Right.
Yeah. By July 5th.
But it would be based on what he asked for.
Right.
Can we add in when he does the looping to add a hydrant for sampling?
A what?
A hydrant, a yard hydrant for sampling.
Oh.
If I may, if it wouldn't be an added connection, you know what I'm saying? It would be an added connection, but if it wouldn't be considered.
We would consider it a sampling point, so it wouldn't be, be padlocked at all times unless.
Oh, correct. Yeah, on your end, but we almost have to check with the Iowa DNR, I imagine.
We could check that, but I think it's just, it would be considered a sampling point.
Because you see what I'm getting at. I don't want to.
I see what you're getting at, but I don't think it's a concern because it's not a point of use, it's a sampling point. And it would have to be padlocked, you know.
Sure. As long as it's okay with the
Iowa State. We'll check into that. Okay. But if you're couple with that.
Definitely. No, on my end.
That would make sampling easier. But we don't have to worry about the trailers or, you know, we can get samples. You know, if we could have two or three of them throughout the park, that would, you know, and it's minimal cost for yard hydrant. So,
sure.
And if you're doing the digging already.
No, that would, no. I would actually encourage that other than just the.
Yep. We'll check into that.
If it's okay. Yep.
Okay. All right. Bran, are you clear with those requirements before we vote on them? Is there any confusion in your mind of what the Board of Health is laying out before you?
Confusion, no. Clear, yes. Agreed.
You got to decide if you want to go to 14 or not. But now you should have certainty of what you're deciding on. And that's all I'm going for today. Are you clear on that?
Well, again, it's there's financial issues here. We don't know for sure what it is, so it's hard for me to make a decision right now this minute.
I'm not asking you for a decision. I'm saying, are you clear so that you can make a decision?
Yes, correct.
Right. So, any further discussion?
Call the question.
Okay. So, all those in favor of the current requirements that we will put on Crestview, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay.
Can we talk about one other issue as regards this? When we get to, I feel like the residents need some certainty that we're not going to come in here on July 5th, Brant, and let's say hypothetically, Brant, that you decide 14 doesn't work for you, and so you choose to close the park rather than go to 14. Can we give the residents some certainty that we're not going to say, okay, you've got 5 days, 10 days to be out, that we're going to come back and give them a reasonable amount of time before
we will give them a reasonable amount of time, and that will be part of our July 5th meeting.
Okay.
All right. All right. I think that's a reasonable request. Okay. All right. Okay. There we go. Okay. Now, anything else? Three other things we do have to really talk about. Consideration of the agreement between Story County Board of Health and Mary Greeley Home Health Services for Public Health and Home Care Services. That's our usual contract with them, and I would entertain a motion to approve it.
And I'll move that we approve it.
Second.
Okay. All those in any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, that passes. Contract between Iowa Department of Public Health and Story County Board of Health.
And I'll move that.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Now, approval of employee action from pay form. Pay adjustment effective 6/26 for Margaret Janes, $2,847 per pay period. And that was from a discussion that we had about getting extra payment for her. And I think that was what we agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure, since I wasn't here, that Paul Toot pointed out to the Board of Health. Board of Health is completely empowered to make this decision, but there's no extra dollars following along with it, so the Board of Health is going to have to figure out how to make your budget work with this salary increase. So there won't be a salary increase in dollars for the Board of Health.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Margaret, you look confused.
So the budget for the Board of Health, and I'm looking, I don't see a list in here. The budget for the Board of Health was already approved, and I don't think this triggers an automatic amendment by the Board of Supervisors to amend the Board of Health budget. I don't believe it does. You and I can dig into that, and we can report back on July 5th. It's not going to change what the action of the Board of Health is. I just wanted to make sure the Board of Health was clear that, you know, it's hand in glove, right? The Board of Health gets to determine what the wages are, but the Board of Supervisors gets to determine what's funded. And I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. Yeah, and so whatever Lisa Markley ended up filling in that was approved on March 15th by the Board of Supervisors is where we are. Great. I just want to make sure that we were clear there weren't additional dollars coming forward for that. It was what was approved on March 15th.
Okay. There is one difference to that, Kathy. There's like $200 different, $500 different per year. And yes, we can cover that with our current budget.
Okay. So, and we're also going to, we also have to approve the employee action form for pay adjustment for Kathy.
Yeah, we need to vote on both.
Oh, okay, each one. Okay. Let's vote on the approval of the action for the pay adjustment on Margaret James.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I move. Okay. And aye.
All right. Okay. And then the pay adjustment effective June 26th for Kathy Bozlinski. I hope I did not slaughter your name.
And I'll move that.
Okay. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Okay. And then pay adjustment for Matthew Corey at 23.25.
Aye. Second.
Moved and seconded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the effect and approval for the pay adjustment for Stephanie Jones is $17.18 an hour. All those in favor? Or wait.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Is that splitting what she's being paid? So she's paid half from planning and development. That splits it in half.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Did we vote?
Move.
Aye.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay. Great. All right. Any comments from the staff? Any comments from the staff? Staff from the board? Any comments? Any comments from the board? I would like to discuss a little bit more about Crestview now.
You're a comedian. I see that.
Anyways, okay. All right. So if no one objects, I will accept a movement for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned. We'll see you guys on July 5th. Okay?
Thank you. Good job. That was...